Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Good evening, folks. Welcome to another edition of Ishinru Mats, Friday night at the fights. Today is October 11, 2024. It's now about 7.05 p.m. Call into the show, 563-999-3035. Let me give you that number again, 563-999-3035. All right, folks, we're here again Friday night. Another week done, another week down. Hope everybody in Florida, bails out of this storm. It's been horrible. I mean, it's catastrophic what's been happening. So my prayers go out to the people that are working so hard to rebuild their lives. As always, we start off our program by giving homage to the people that have come before us. So in my case, Shimabuku Tatsuo Sensei, we give you a big shout out, Sensei, for doing the work and giving this, giving all of us this great art to practice, Ishinru Karate. Of course, your first generation students, my goodness, the work that they did built just an outstanding platform for all of us to stand on. Of course, their grand black belts brought Ishinru to the masses, and then all of the practitioners that have come, past, present, and future. So when we take a look at that body of work, we have to, again, say thank you to the sensei that passed it on to those first-generation United States Marines that brought this karate home to the United States. Knowing that, we want to bring certain things to highlight, and that is the work that has gone on over the past 60-some-odd years. We've just celebrated the passing of our sensei in May, and, of course, his birth in September. So every year when that happens, we usually come on the air and we have, whatever first-generation students are still alive that will come on the program and talk about him, trying to preserve and protect his legacy forever and ever. On Friday nights, the reason why we call it Friday Night at the Fights is because when we were kids, we used to go to the Golden Gloves boxing matches on Friday nights. It was like going to watch a movie with your family. But you go watch these Golden Glove competitions, and they used to call it Friday Night at the Fights. So as a kid, it was, you couldn't wait, basically. You get your bag of popcorn, your glass of soda, and off you went to your seats. So we're excited about the show we got lined up tonight. I always want to take this opportunity to thank all of the people that have called in on the switchboard that are listening live, my loyal listeners over the past 14 years. Thank you. All right, let's see if we can. I was having a little bit of an audio problem. Let me see if I can get. Let's see. Let's put them both on live. Can you two gentlemen hear me?
Yes, Sensei, I can hear you. I don't know if you can hear me.
I hear you loud and clear.
Yes, sir.
And,
good to hear from you.
Yep, and then I can hear you too, Sensei Dan.
All right, so we got Alex and Chris on the line. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Awesome. So I just want to take this opportunity to say to my loyal listeners, I'll break this down for them real quick. It was about 2 weeks ago now, right, fellas?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I believe it was about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So about 2 weeks ago, a childhood friend of mine, Jerry Fujiani Sensei, came down to Morrisville, North Carolina, to do a seminar at a dojo. And I saw it online, and I, with our schedules, to try to have to get there was, you know, tough, because we all have to work, you know. But it was Jerry, and I wanted to come and see Jerry. So turns out that I meet this awesome bunch of people. So Sensei Jerry says to me, why don't you have them on the program? So, of course, Sensei. And here we are. We are here tonight now with two people that I met that practice Shurin Room, which they're going to talk about. But I would like to just say thank you for letting me into your dojo and letting me see the discipline that you practice, and that you should know, and I don't know if you do know this, but you should know that the style that I practice is Shinryu Karate. One of the disciplines, I hate to call them styles, but one of the disciplines that Shobuku Tatsuo Sensei studied was Shorin Ryu. And the other one was Goju-Ryu. So Ishin-Ryu is a synthesis of both Goju-Ryu and Shorin-Ryu. Now, back in the day when Sensei Jerry and I were looking to find a martial art, he found Shorin-Ryu and I found Ishin-Ryu. Now, both of us did not know back then when we were children what all of that meant. But after 50 years now, we have found out what all of that means. So to have you two gentlemen on the program whom I just met, and that you accepted our invitation to come onto the program, one is I'm flattered, because that's my job. My job is to promote your dojo and talk about your journey, talk about your students, talk about any seminars or workshops you may be having. So that's the service that Ishin-Ryu Mats provides to the martial arts community. And I should also note that when my sensei was coming up, he was known as the voice of karate. Ed McGrath was known throughout the martial arts community as the voice of karate. Being his son-in-law, and that he's no longer with us, we continue to be his voice. So some of his, you know, black belts will come on the program, and they'll talk about sensei, and we'll have a grand old time going over and reminiscing the workouts and our journey. So now, I'm going to start with Alex, because I believe Alex, the way Sensei Jerry explain this to me, is that Alex, when living on Long Island, somehow with Jerry Fijian. So I'm going to leave it there, Alex. You can pick it up from there.
Yeah. So, you know, I when I was younger, I was really into two things, Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers. That was like the big thing in the 90s. And I was, you know, a small kid just bouncing off the walls, and my mom and my dad said, well, let's find a karate spot. So, you know, we ended up at, you know, Sensei Jerry Fijiani's dojo over at East Coast Black Belt Academy. And, you know, I was there for about 8 years, you know, studying under him and then a few other instructors as well. Back in the day, you know, he had the adults teach, the adults were learning Shorin Ryu karate, and then, you know, the kids in my generation, we were learning like the Kenpo karate style. So, you know, for about like 8 years, I studied under him, and it was a fantastic place. And, you know, from there, my family had to move over to North Carolina, cause the taxes in New York, my family were like, okay, we need to start heading out somewhere maybe a little cheaper. So we ended up moving, over to North Carolina from there.
So now, the place that I went to, dojos, or whose dojo, who runs that dojo?
Yeah, so that would actually be Sensei Chris. You know, after I moved to North Carolina. I actually studied Ishin Ryu under Karate International under Mr. Robolewski and Sensei Chester Rowe for about like 10 years. You know, after that, you know, it was time for me to kind of move on and, you know, open up my own school, Endeavor Martial Arts. But, you know, I wanted to get back into my roots and, you know, try to study Shorin Ryu karate, you know, and start to learn the katas. And so, you know, I was looking online and I found like, Sensei Chris's dojo. And I just went in there and said, hey, you know, is the sensei here? I just want to talk to him. I just want to learn about like Shorin Ryu karate. And so I got to meet Sensei Chris. And then from there, you know, we just talked about, you know, our martial arts journey. And, he asked like, who did you study under? And I said, I don't know if you know him. His name is like Jerry Ficciani. And, you know, Sensei Chris was like, whoa, what? Now, I didn't know like the big amount of impact Sensei Jerry has had. You know, I just saw him as Sensei. So, you know, the fact that Sensei Chris knew him, you know, we kind of just decided, hey, let's collaborate, you know, we'll teach you some Shorin Ryu karate. And, you know, we'd love to have Sensei Jerry come on in. So, you know, because it was like, I don't know what it was. I'll just say it's like destiny that we, you know, we were able to collaborate and get to such like a big event. And the event that we had was actually at Sensei Chris's place, you know. And again, Sensei Chris, thank you again for, you know, helping host the big event.
Yes, sir. It's my pleasure and my honor to have everyone there.
All right, Chris. Let's do this now. How did you get started in martial arts?
Yes, sir. Good to hear from you guys and Alex. And thank you again for collaborating and making all that happen. It was such an honor to have Ficciani Sensei, Dan Sensei there, and have just such an amazing experience. And as you said, Sensei Alex, yeah, destiny. I kind of feel the same way. The martial arts world is big and small at the same time. And yeah, it was just such an awesome, awesome time. And it really just, it just brought back a lot of memories for me and my beginning of martial arts. Cause I was also, as Alex had mentioned earlier, he started in the 90s. And that's also when I started, I was also in the 90s too, the early 90s. And I started in where I lived, Sensei Dan, it was very small. There wasn't a lot of martial arts. Martial arts was very big, but it just, where I happened to live, it wasn't big. And I just so happened to go, and the place that my parents brought me to, I was a teenager still, but they brought me to a Matsubayashi Shorin Ryu karate dojo, and that's where I got my start. And it was really, you know, the destiny, fate, as be it, there was taekwondo and there was karate. And luckily I ended up in the karate because that was really what I wanted. I wanted to have that, that experience. Cause I was old enough at that point, I was 15. And I was already had, you know, Alex Sensei had mentioned earlier, you know, he was into the Ninja Turtles and the Power Rangers. But for me, what really got me started was the original Karate Kid movies, and with Daniel LaRusso and Mr. Miyagi and that whole thing. And this was my chance to finally do it. So, yeah, I got my start in Matsubayashi Shorin Ryu. And that's where the connection came in, because as soon as Alex Sensei, I asked him who his sensei was and everything, and Ficciani Sensei, I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, you know, because in Matsubayashi Shorin Ryu, it's, you know, there are many, many figures that stand out to me, and he happens to be one of the gentlemen that I greatly look up to. And it was so awesome to be able to make that happen, to meet him in person, and of course to meet everyone that weekend. And just another example that I say a lot of times in martial arts is that, you know, you meet so many different people in martial arts. Make so many different connections, and it's very, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, martial arts to me is everything. So that's where I started in the beginning, was at Matsubayashi Shorin Ryu. But like Sensei Alex too, I've also had the opportunity to study other styles of karate as well, too. I've gotten this chance to study Shorinjiru, which is a style from Chotoku Kyan Sensei. I also have gotten a chance to study Chitoru, which is from Dr. Chitose Sensei. So it's very cool. It's very, you know, there's, like as you said, Sensei Dan, there's many styles, but you don't like to call them styles, you have to call them disciplines. And I think that's a very good way to look at it, because really it is. It's just another form of discipline, and it's just a way for us to train our mind and our bodies.
So let me set the stage for you here so that both of you can understand this relationship. You have two kids from Long Island. My parents moved to Lindenhurst. My aunt moved to Holtsville, which is about 35 miles east of Lindenhurst. I meet this kid, Jerry Figiani, on my cousin's block. We're kids now, all right? Little kids, still in grade school. This kid goes on to be a star football player in high school. He was just, as an honorary captain, just the other day when the high school was playing, they had him come out on the field in his civilian clothes as an honorary captain. So that's how much they revere Jerry because of his work ethic, all right? And he's a great sportsman. He goes on now and starts this career in martial arts, builds this relationship in Okinawa, the birthplace of karate. You know, his approach was not to ask for this or ask for that. The only thing he wanted was friendship. And they took him in because of his request. So he's very smart, very astute, Jerry, you know. Even though he appears to be like a kid, he is a very smart individual, very good businessman. And I guess that comes from his upbringing, you know, because of what his parents did. So now, he's got a great sense of humor, great athletic ability. And watching us grow together, and we even work together. We even had a job where we worked together when we got older. However, we were always into martial arts, the two of us. So you can imagine what it's like when we have him on the program and we talk, because, again, he has such a great sense of humor, and he remembers everything. You know what I mean? So meeting him for the first time, let me ask you, Alex, what was it like when you were young and you met this guy? What was it like?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I was kind of bewildered by, you know, like you said, the athleticism and the size of Sensei Jerry. very athletic, but also like very nice, you know, like the amount of like, you know, he was tough with us, but you know, he was very kind at the same time. You know, I remember like when I was younger, like everybody, you know, progressed through the belt. But one thing that really stood out was like his character development that he had for us kids. So, you know, not only we had to, you know, earn our stripes in the karate, but, you know, we had to keep our grades up. And then we also had to do, you know, extra, you know, activities at home to make sure that we were, you know, staying on track, you know, with our, you know, with our character responsibilities. Because, you know, you can have a black belt in the martial arts, but you may not have a black belt in character. So that's where, you know, that's why I really appreciate him the most, is, you know, just making sure that he was setting us up on the right path for success.
And how about you, Sensei Chris? What's your take on when you first met this man?
Dan Sensei, it's so interesting the way martial arts has changed so much, even in the last, you know, 20 years, because we're so much more connected now through the internet and through all of the technology that we have. So I actually first heard of Figiani Sensei through Facebook, and I happened to somehow click on this, some of his videos, and I heard I had happened to capture some of his teachings through Masters Magazine on YouTube clips, and I just I instantly felt like I was I felt a connection to him just because just the things he was saying and the way he was presenting the material, it was very like-minded. So I that was my initial impression of him because it was literally just completely, you know, through those platforms. And then when I finally got to meet him in person, it was phenomenal because one, I've been friends with him on Facebook for many, many years. But to meet him in person and just, you know, to have all of the things that I had in my mind of who I thought this person was, he was that and so much more. Because when I showed him, when I first met him the very first day, I went to Sensei Alex's dojo and met him for the first time and I shook his hand. And, you know, we started talking and I showed him, I brought him my karate lineage chart that my sensei gave me. And when I pulled that out and I showed it to him, he started reading it and he was pointing to, oh, this person, that person. He's like, oh, Soto Kyan sensei, there's Omine sensei, there's Joseph Carbonara sensei. So a lot of, you know, we're basically like long lost karate, brothers. So it was very cool, and he really, you know, he really exudes to me and that type of family values and family. You know, he really treated me like family. So that's how I try and treat my family and my students. I don't teach them. Treat my students as like they're just students or customers. I treat them as if they're you know, my martial arts family. So I really felt that from him, and that really made a profound impression on me because that's something that I've learned a long time ago that, you know, that's how you should treat people. You treat everyone like family because that's how my family treated me. That's how my family treated other people. And I felt in martial arts, that's really important to do that because that respect, as Alex Sensei was just saying a moment ago, you can have a black belt, but, you know, you may not have a black belt in character, and Sensei Jerry exudes all the things that I constantly talk about in martial arts as well too, because it's been impressed upon me by my sensei. So it was really an awesome experience, really awesome. There's a lot more to say, but I don't want to take up too much time, sensei. So it was such an awesome.
Well, then I will, because this man went to Okinawa and has been a friend of the Okinawans for many, many years. And for that friendship and that work that he has contributed to his discipline, they awarded this man from Okinawa now. This is, again, the birthplace of karate. They honored him with a rank that is... I always wanted to be a brown belt, fellas, because in my sensei's dojo, when you were a brown belt, man, you were hot stuff, all right? And to know that the Okinawans recognize my buddy as a real legacy leader now. His name goes down in the books in Matsubayashi Shunryu as a legacy leader. It's him and my father-in-law, Ed McGrath, that are in the Suffolk County Sports Hall of Fame for karate. And that's got to tell you something. My father-in-law worked very hard to build karate on the Northeast. Once he conquered the Northeast, he went everywhere. Everywhere. He took it to London. He took it to South Africa. He took it to Israel. He took it everywhere. You're a real worker bee, my sensei. Now, I will say this, his work ethic and the way he carries himself, as you referred to when you described him, are his keys to success because he's approachable. As you said, Sensei Alex, when you were young, a little intimidated about the size, however, and the you know, the look. He does have that look, Sensei. You also mentioned something else about technology. When we were young, we didn't have this. We didn't have YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. So the way Jerry and I communicated was when I would go visit my Aunt Anna and my Uncle Johnny, go see my cousins, Robin and Johnny. Of course, they lived, you know, a couple of doors down. And Sensei Jerry, of course, always wanted to be outside, either throwing a baseball or a football or the lacrosse sticks or whatever. And my sport was handball. I played handball. And that's why my legs are what they are at 65, because I played handball. You know, I worked my legs for almost 50 years playing handball. And that's why I can still do 1,000 kicks a day, hit that bag, and, you know, have them say, hey, all right, that's enough, you know. But that's the mindset. Now let's talk about that a second, because one of the questions, as my job sitting here, is to talk about mindset. It was mentioned prior that martial arts has changed in the last 20 years. I'll take it back a little further. I'll say the last 40 years. Because, you know, the first 10 years when I started, there was no pads, no mouthpieces, no nothing. Maybe a cup. You should wear a cup. Okay? But that was about it, you know? So martial arts has changed. Your approach to teaching, your approach to marketing has changed. How you get people in the door is mindset. It's how you program the students you have and put your, as you said, goodness into them, just like Sensei Jerry does, puts his goodness into the students and shows it to them. Great teaching technique. So let's start with Chris on this one. Your approach to teaching, let's break it down. I don't know if you have a children's class and an adult class, but we do. We have a children's class, we have an adult class, and then we have a class for the elderly. So our approach to teaching is very unique when it comes to children, I can tell you that. So your approach, Sensei Chris, what's your approach to teaching? Like, how do you capture somebody's attention for more than 5 seconds?
Yes, sir. I'm going to go back for just a second and talk a little bit more about, like, where I started. Because in Shorin Ryu, especially, you know, back when I first started, the belt system was the traditional belt system, which was white, green, brown, black. So like you were saying earlier, when you made it to brown belt, it was big time. And I remember when I reached to green belt with my sensei, and I remember at green belt level, I'd been training for a good bit, and he asked me to start helping him teach his kids, his little kids classes. And I instantly realized at that moment that, like, this is what I want to do with my life. Like, it gave me a purpose. There's so many things I could talk about, but what it did for me, besides thinking outside of myself, because being, I was still a teenager, I was maybe at that point 17 or so, I started at 15, it made me think of someone other than myself, because that is one thing, especially at that age, that we don't look outwards, we look inwards constantly. What about me, 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 me? So that was the first thing that I really connected with, was helping these young kids that my sensei was teaching. I became like the assistant. And it really impressed upon me a sense of responsibility. And it helped me with many other things, because in school, academically, up to that point in my life, I wasn't doing very well. And once I learned through the lessons of karate, of focus, discipline, control, you know, taking care of others, all of the life lessons and all of the you know, forging of the spirit, it made such an impression on me. I actually did something that I had never done up to that point. I actually got straight A's in school, and I basically like graduated high school because of karate. So when I go back to now at the present moment teaching, I constantly go back to that part, because many of the children of today, you know, they have a lot of distractions in life. Even me growing up, in the 80s and the 90s, the levels of distractions are nowhere near like what they have now. They have, everyone's got a cell phone. Everyone has, you know, whatever platform they're on, and they're scrolling and doing all this other crazy stuff. So it's really to capture their attention now. One, I have to show the parents the benefits. Like, we're not just teaching kicks and punches. We're teaching character development to your kids. And then for the adults, we work out. I make them work out, and that's really what the adults need. So I show them that karate and martial arts, it's for the mind and the body, and you know, it really, I make sure that they have a workout. So, and when I mean workout, I mean we're doing the kihon, we're doing the kumite, we're doing the bag work, we're doing the pad work, we're doing drills, we're doing, you know, we're getting that ability to make a human connection with another person, because even the adults, you know, they spend so much time behind a screen for many of the jobs that they do in their lives. So getting a chance to not do that and do something for themselves and make a connection and interaction is so important, because no matter how much technology we have, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And we need to do things that human beings need to do, which is we need to interact with other human beings. We need to do things physical with that stimulate our mind and our body, and martial arts is the perfect thing to do, is the perfect vehicle to take you and make you better in so many ways. So a lot of times in teaching with the kids, I am geared towards the character development, but also the physical, because they need to exercise too. You know, they need to exercise. We do a lot of push-ups, a lot of sit-ups. We do a lot of bag work with them too. A lot of techniques where disguised repetition, like we're doing, for instance, we're doing a certain kick, and then we'll change it and we'll say, okay, now we're going to do it this way. And to them, it feels like they're doing something different, but they're doing the exact same thing. And then for the adults, you really, in my opinion, for adults, you have to show them the practical application of the movements of the kata. So there's many, 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 many practical applications and drills, and this is how it can be used, but also at the same time, give them the ability to empower them, you know, feel confident, feel strong. You know, I recently had a student, he ended up losing like 60 pounds this year alone through his discipline and through his hard work. So, I mean, it's so many different things I could talk about, but those are some of the ways that we hold the attention and get them involved. And I've been lucky, I've been blessed, I've had some students with me now going on almost 15 years. So it's really, feel really blessed to have that.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Sensei. That's wonderful.
Sure.
Again, I want to take the opportunity to thank you for doing the work, because if you don't do that work, you don't have the impact that you have on so many. Remember, you may be teaching a student, but that student is associated to a lot of people. So your impact goes beyond the student, and we'll talk about that in the second half. Now, let me throw this over to Sensei Alex, because now I get a kick out of Sensei Alex, because his approach to learning and to teaching, I believe, is very innovative because of the type of person, the type of character that I see in Sensei Alex. So let's give Sensei Alex now a chance to talk about his approach to teaching the children and, of course, the adults.
Yeah, you know, so for our school, you know, we have, like, a couple of different types of programs. We have, you know, traditional karate. We also have kickboxing for the adults, and then jiu-jitsu for kids and adults. You know, when I moved to North Carolina and I started studying karate, you know, I still loved it. You know, it was the tradition, the katas, the kumites, and, you know, I was when I wanted to get some inspiration, I would kind of go back to Sensei Jerry's DVDs, which I found online. And one thing that he said that, you know, kind of piqued me was like, you know, that you can do karate on the ground. And I was like, what does that mean? So I was like, you know, I looked in, you know, judo, jujitsu. And so I was like, well, you know, I have all this karate experience. Maybe, you know, I should try like a little jujitsu. So, you know, I tried some Japanese jujitsu and, you know, it answered some of the questions that I may have had, but it didn't quite like itch everything. So I then started learning a Gracie jujitsu from my jujitsu instructor. His name is Sonny Yu. And so, you know, Gracie University has got like over 250 schools around the world right now. And I was like, yeah, how does that even work? And so like what he did was, you know, Henner and Hiron, the heads of the organization right now, they had their curriculum and they distributed it online so everybody in the world can access it. So I was like, you know, let's try it out. So I got through the curriculum, end up getting my blue belt in that system, you know, going through their instructor certification program. And, you know, I thought I knew, you know, what it meant to like teach karate, self-discipline and focus. But the way that the instructor certification program in jiu-jitsu was presented to me, I was able to take a lot of those skills and now apply it to the way I teach karate. So it's, you know, I try to make it, you know, in all of my classes, whether it's karate, kickboxing, or jiu-jitsu, the push and pull method. I don't know if it's been ever, you know, called something different, but, you know, basically what I like to try to do is, you know, with either kids or adults, I push them to their focus, whether it's like, you know, their physical focus or their mental focus. And so once I feel that they're kind of like on the brink of like, oh, I'm about to give up, then I pull back. And I say, okay, let's have some fun. Let's do some bag work for the kids. Let's play a game. You know, it's like, hey, let's go ahead and just take a break from this, move on to jump rope. And then I would go back and teach the second part of the curriculum. That way, you know, they're getting pushed with their focus. They're having fun at the same time and then going back in. So sweat, skill, and smile, right? The last thing I just want to cover is, you know, you said, like, there's a whole bunch of evolving technology. And, you know, kids are definitely different from where they were, like, 20 or 30 years ago, right? Even, like, 10 years ago. It's because of, like, the evolving technology. So, you know, what I like to think of is, you know, one, I've been developing, you know, video curriculum for my students in terms of the karate. That way, you know, it's kind of preserved and moved on. You know, it's not quite all there, but, you know, at least it's, you know, a start. That way, you know, kids, even if they're outside of the school, you know, like whether on their vacation or, you know, they have to move somewhere, they're able to access that information and be able to practice the moves, you know, on their own or with a parent or, you know, anywhere around the world that they need to. The second thing that I wanted to, you know, cover is the disguising of repetition, just like Sensei Chris said. Because kids and, you know, to some aspects adults, you know, they have a hard time focusing on one thing, why not adapt to their learning style, you know? That's kind of the approach that I'm trying to take at the moment. And, you know, so far, you know, my students have been, you know, pretty, like, active with that kind of teaching style.
Well, after listening to both of you describe your approach, your philosophy, your training, your background, your experience, a lot has come out. So as a practitioner, if I was looking to get into a martial art, I would only hope that I would come across a sensei like either one of you, because I know I would get a sincere version of what you're teaching. So being a senior now, especially watching, I can't tell you how many competitions I've sat and judged, matches I've refereed, katas that I've watched, weapons katas, and I've competed. Knowing that you've shaped this base now, based around what you've learned, what you've acquired on your own by reading, doing your research. I like what you said about the technology, because remember now, if I wanted to find out about something happening in martial arts, the only way I could get it was in a magazine, Black Belt magazine or Kung Fu magazine, Official Karate. That was about what we could get back then for current events and competitions and whatnot. So knowing that my sensei was very much involved with promoting martial arts, he got to know all of the different senseis from all the different disciplines, most of them Marines that came back from overseas with this martial art. So you said something very key about picking up Shorinru, using its value, because to me, the katas are like encyclopedias. When I need to drill, I go to a kata, I pull out a sequence, and I stay on that sequence for, it could be months, it could be years. It shapes the way the student sees the kata. So the kids, the best compliment I get from the parents is, Danny, how do you get my kid to do that? I mean, what is it with you? And it's because I don't, children respect authority. So for instance, when we open the dojo and the kids start arriving, they know exactly what to do. From contributing to get the class going, to organizing where everybody goes, and then the lineup happens when we call Kiyosuke. And I'll tell you what, that approach for me has worked, because when I started, my sensei didn't have a children's class. He said to my mother, look in that room, there's all men in there. I don't have any kids. What do you want me to do with them? So if it were not for Mr. Lasiri and Mr. Laskowski, I may not have gotten the chance to go to that class, because he didn't have a children's class. So I made sure when I became a third degree black belt, I made sure I had a children's class. And that, I don't know about you fellas, but third degree black belt for us means you can have a dojo under sensei supervision. When you have when you get promoted to fifth degree black belt, you can have a dojo now and you're on your own. Sensei allows you to, you know, have your own dojo. And then now he'll stop by and see how you're doing, but knows that you're going to continue to preserve and protect his sensei's legacy. So, having said that, what I got from both of you is that there's an honor, and I want to use the word obedience in both of you, because you have learned that discipline from martial arts. So kudos to both of you on that. The next thing is that both of your approaches are very unique to me, because you're both two different characters. But yet, your goal is the same. And that's what I love about martial arts. Kung Fu may present this. They may present this. Aikido may present this. Jiu-Jitsu. And this was the beauty, because Sensei McGrath was in with all of them. So from Peter Irving to Michael DePasquale Sr., Pete Siringano Sr., Don Nagel, Yoshimitsu Yamada, Aaron Banks, people like, I mean, he was around everybody. We visited everybody's dojo, and we competed at all the dojos with all the different disciplines. So it was awesome coming up for me. I got to see, that's why I say, I am an inherent jiu-jitsuist. My karate has all these wonderful, remove the threat, you know, secure the area, if you will. Make sure there's no more threat. And a lot of that comes from the inherent jiu-jitsu that's in the karate. So, and then when you said karate can be done on the ground, you guys have Nihachi, so take it one day and do it on the ground, and you'll see what we're talking about. You don't know how many times I've evaded and protected against chokes because of moves in the Hanchi on the ground. Think of it. Think of the hand position, that open Nukite style hand, open position, right against your jugular, your thumb covering your Adam's apple, almost like a protection, like a barrier. Listen, I could talk about it all night, but I don't want to go there right now because we are almost at halftime. Oh, we got another 7 minutes left. That's how fast this goes, fellas, by the way. Next question. Since we talked about, you know, the training aspect, the next question is impact. I want to touch on this. Then we're going to take a break. And when we go to break, the reason why I want to start the question now is because I know both of you are going to need a little bit of time to really think of what I'm talking about here. Now, listen, fellas, I've been teaching karate pretty much all my life because by the time I made brown belt, sensei saw that I was bringing a lot of youngsters into the dojo. So he said, well, go right ahead, you know. Teach them the chart one, teach them chart two. That's the basics. Once they learn that, you can introduce them to Seisan. Yes, sensei. And off I went. But I haven't stopped. I've been doing it ever since. And that's why I love teaching kids. I love people. To me, I'm a life coach there. Whatever I give them, we use a beach ball with the kids, all right? Impact. Let me break this down for you. Because when we come back, I want you to have a few minutes to think about this. When Sensei Alex said to me, when I first met Sensei Jerry, you know, I was a kid. So looking at this guy, it's like looking at the Twin Towers, you know what I mean? So there's that aspect of it. Of course, when I asked Sensei Chris, he said, well, when I met Sensei, and how I came to learn about, you know, Fujiani Sensei. Points of view are, of course, different, but it achieved a common goal in that you met my buddy, all right? That's all that matters to me. Yes, you met him and you know what this man is. And I will say this. I know you might say, well, Venna, you're biased because he's your friend, but I revere Sensei Jerry, not only as a human being, a father, a husband, a martial artist, and a sensei, but as a friend. I live in North Carolina. If I call Jerry and say, Jerry, I need your help, he'll be there for me. All right? He'll be there for me. I want you to think about the impact that you have had on people. And then I want you to think about the impact that you've had on your students. Because remember, everything you give them, you can never take back. They will retain it for the rest of their life. Whether they stay, they don't stay, doesn't matter. You're giving it to them. And you're giving them a gift that was given to you that you're now a conduit from the original founders all the way down to these kids. Now, I don't know how you view impact, but to me, that electricity that comes from the founders and their energy that is now in your heartbeat. And we'll talk about that before we close this program, because I'll probably ask both of you, do you have any idea how many times your heart beats in your lifetime? And then, and the fact that we're martial artists, oh boy, you're going to bounce that up by a billion. So, having said that, you got to think about, when I ask you, do you have any idea the impact you've had on people? Most people don't even, the thought don't even cross their mind. But because we're life coaches, we have to think to ourselves, when a parent says to me, how do you get my kid to do that? That impact is not only on the child now, but it's on the parents. Because we're teaching them a technique of how to get through. And that's all it is. I got four kids, three daughters, and a boy. Never, ever did I hit my children, ever. If I even said to my baby daughter, Jackie, if I raised my voice, she started crying. So it's not about using violence. And we'll talk about that in the second half. What's your level of violence? Now remember, I grew up in the 60s, so, you know, it was a real crazy time when it comes to race and all that stuff. But your impact, fellas, it's one of the things that the dojo that I was in, I mean, beautiful. Mirrors, equipment, neat, presentable. I mean, in 2024, however you were able to configure that, God bless you, man. I don't know how to do that. And I've been at it all my life. I've always had to have a home dojo. I can't afford to. We'll talk about that in the second half. How do you do that? You know, what is the math? That's incredible, you know. Impact. Your impact on others because of the work that you do is immeasurable. So I'm going to answer the question before I even ask it, because I know, I've been around 65 years now, the work that we do in the field and I'll talk about the survivors that I teach and try to heal, which is horrible. I mean, people have really had to endure things that wholesome people like us can't even, you know, fathom. So that's another reason why I wanted to take martial arts, because I knew that if I could defend myself, I might be able to teach another kid who's getting bullied. We'll do this. Put them in a wrist coggy, they go right down. They go right on the knee. You know what I mean? So, it's a wonderful thing. I have given my life to martial arts. So because I run this program, I do know the impact I've had on others, because in my case, I pay attention to it. I want results. I'm one of those senseis that I want results. You don't give me results, I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. And I don't like to be stuck. So that comes off of me. You know, without those words being spoken, that comes off of me. And my father taught me, you lead by example, son. Don't ever be late, and don't let nobody outwork you. And my bosses at work, they say, you're 65 years old. You act like you jump around like a 20-year-old. Well, I says, let me see you get up off the floor 600 times a night. You know, it takes a lot of energy to do that. So when you're committed, and that's another thing. Before we go to break, I'll say you are both committed, all right? And that stands for a lot. We're at halftime now, so we usually give everybody a chance to, take a break. We're going to play a song or two, and we'll come back, and we'll close out the program. So our switchboard is full, but if you want to call in, it's 563-999-3035. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. I got a Jackie Wilson song for you.
Hey, you! Come on, get her on the floor. Let's rock some more. Come out of here on the floor. Honey, let's rock some more, yeah. Now when you get out here, don't you have no fear. Put your hands on your hip and let your backbone slip and work out.
Wilson, my God, what a voice. That's a blast from the past from my childhood. Call into the show, 563-999-3035. All right, so we made it through the first hour, fellas. And to kick off the second half of the show, what we like to do is ask this question. So, Sensei Alex, fathers.
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time? You cut out just a little bit.
All right, sir. What impact would you say you've had on others?
Got it. Yeah, so, I think there's like a few kind of standout moments that I've had in, just in the martial arts so far. The first, after receiving my black belt, I was fortunate enough to help, you know, others achieve their black belts and, you know, when, you know, getting through our style of karate. I would say that's kind of like my first kind of experience with the Impact, is, you know, helping others on their martial arts journey. The second one that really stands out is when I was in my 20s, I was fortunate enough to teach this young girl who, you know, we got her through all the way from about like 10 years old to about like it was about like 18 years old, so about 8 years. We got her to black belt, and, you know, as we were kind of, you know, getting her through, she then wanted to help teach some of the classes. And so, you know, I kind of helped take her under my wing and, you know, showed her how to help teach the kids. Then she was, you know, so enthralled with that, she wanted to then start moving into, you know, teaching some of the summer camps. And, you know, I said, okay, well, get ready. That's a whole new game. So, you know, we got her trained, you know, she had a blast with it. She was a great teacher in the martial arts. And, you know, after that, you know, when she was graduating high school and heading into college, she said, hey, you know, I'm going to be pausing my martial arts journey, but I want you to let you know that I'm going to be studying to become a teacher. And, you know, that's because of all of, you know, all thanks to you and the team of martial arts instructors here. And so she ended up graduating college and ending up becoming like an elementary school teacher. And I was just floored beyond belief. I was so fortunate. Because, you know, a lot of the stuff that we were trying to teach her, you know, in terms of character development, you know, bringing up the next generation of kids, she took that to heart at like a very young age, and now she's like thriving. Two more that kind of just stand out. The third one is like, you know, while I was, you know, a martial arts instructor, my fiance and I started a business together where we taught kids how to play Dungeons and Dragons. You know, you play a game with dice, you create your characters, and then you play like imaginary adventures. So we wanted to make it just a little bit different because, you know, a lot of role-playing games involve fighting monsters, and, you know, that's all well and good, but we wanted to have a little bit more of a significant impact. And so what we actually did, we created this company called Impact Kid, where we helped develop children's body, mind, heart, vision, and voice. And so, you know, everything that they did in the game was to help either develop, you know, their physical body, focus on problem solving, which is their mind, you know, talk to non-player characters in the game, and, you know, to develop empathy, that's the heart, have them solve almost unsolvable problems. So vision is the creativity. And then using their voice to communicate effectively with, you know, all the people in the game. And so, you know, we had like about 6-7 kids to start off with, and then it grew to about 12, and we were, you know, picking up a lot of speed at our local game store until COVID hit. And then that threw everything else out the window. But what we decided to do is, like, after COVID, and my fiance and I, when we first opened up the school, we said, let's take all that we've done with the Impact Kid, even though that business is done, let's take all of that material for character development and put that into the martial arts. And so, you know, every week we talk about a different topic. You know, whether it's the creativity of Henry Ford, like that's the topic of this week. We talked about, you know, responsibility, you know, for the toddlers, it was like, you know, responsibility of cleaning up your room. For the big kids, it was, you know, responsibility of making sure that you're keeping your grades up and doing well in school. For adults, it's the responsibility of family and, you know, making sure that, you know, you're taking care of yourself and take care of the family. I'd say the last impact is kind of like what we're going through at the moment is we celebrated our 1 year anniversary over at our studio. And so, you know, the amount of, you know, support that we've had with the community has just been, you know, outstanding. And, you know, I've taught with other martial arts instructors in lots of schools, but this is like, you know, my first year as becoming, you know, like the head instructor of our own martial arts school. And so, you know, I'm just starting to see now the impact that we're going to have on, you know, some of our kids. You know, right now they're on their, you know, black belt journey. They're about, you know, our oldest students are about like halfway through. I think it was like Godan. And so, you know, I just can't wait to see what the next generation has in store.
Sure. Well, again, I'll say thank you for doing the work. I will tell you that since you described, you know, and gave us a picture in our mind's eye, I will tell you that to try to measure that impact, especially with the young ones, is very difficult because it permeates off of them. So, Sensei Chris, impact
yes, sir.
On others when it comes to your students, the youngsters, the adults, what do you think your impact has been on these people?
In this regard, I think that I want to talk first about some of the impact that my senseis have made on me, because really it's about taking what they gave me and now handing it to the next person. And when you take some of the people some of my senseis that they instilled into me, this sense of community, because really that's what martial arts is to me. It's like I said earlier in the show, it's a family, it's a community. And, you know, what they did for me, the things that they did for me, impacted me, and like it made me the man that I am today. And so what I constantly am trying to do is impart the same knowledge to the people around me, you know, and that's, I think, it's a legacy, it's an honor, it's part of, you know, I say this a lot to my students. I'm like, you are practicing something that is a warrior discipline. This is not just, you know, punches and kicks and, you know, weapons and all this stuff and just swirl around and it's like the movies and stuff. I'm like, this is the real deal. And you have to be respectful of others, because if you do not respect yourself, if you do not respect others, if you do not respect your teachers, your parents, your elders, sensei, you know, you are a reflection upon the dojo and upon the people around you. So we're constantly trying to make, I'm constantly trying to express the same thing that was expressed to me, is that we're here to, as the senseis, we're here to lift each other up. And we're here to lift them up and elevate them, because our job is to make them better than we are. And that is, to me, such an important part of what's been taught to me and what I tie in new to the community that I'm in. So I've gotten to see many of my students excel and succeed in life, going to college, getting married, having babies. I've seen them being able to create an impact in their community around them by doing volunteer work about helping others. Even just in the classroom itself, I see my junior black belts, my black belts that are adults. You know, they're constantly trying to help others, because that's really what it is. It's about helping others and elevating other people. And so constantly having that mindset, I think, is very important, because I think, you know, going to the dojo is not just, for me, it's not going to work. You know, going to the dojo, it's who I am. It's what I do, and it's I look forward to the most, because I feel like as soon as I walk into the dojo, I'm trying to figure out, you know, what is going to be the thing that I can do today to help the people that are around me become better. Whether, like something Alex was talking about, giving the kids responsibility for chores around the house, or showing them that they can be self-disciplined. Don't wait for their parents to tell them to do their homework. They do it on their own. Little things like that build up over many, 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 many years, and it changes. It forms the human being. And one of my senseis would say this, you know, a samurai sword. If you look at what it is, when it starts out, it's a gnarly piece of metal, like the traditional way that they make a sword. And through much effort and much labor of love, does it turn into this beautiful object of art and, you know, discipline and all the things that it symbolizes. And so that's what we're constantly doing, is we're forging the people around us. So that's really the impact I think that we have as martial artists, not just myself, but us martial artists, carrying on these traditions to the future generation, because it's just so essential, you know. I keep going back to technology, because technology really it has changed so much, but at the root of it, you know, at the root of all this, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And that's really what my senses have taught me, is that we need to have this ability to connect to other human beings and to have that ability. Because Gianni something said it. He said, the world would be a better place if everybody did martial arts. And I literally was shaking my head at 100%, 110 whole percent agreement in that concept, because if everyone did, we would have such a better understanding and the impact that would make on others is just immense. So it's constantly working for the better of all. That's my goal, and that's the impact I try and impress upon the students around me. And I've gotten to see some of my students. They have started to become helping out in teaching. I've had some of my junior instructors that have been with me went off to college. They didn't want to just go to college. They ended up getting their master's degree. They went back to school, and they would come up to me like, "Tenzin, Chris, it's so tough." And I looked at her and I said, "Look, I know you can do this. I know it's challenging, but I've taught you everything that you need to succeed." And she just last year she graduated her master's program, and now she's off doing big things. She actually is working in Washington, D.C. and helping people in need there. So it's just amazing the amount of impact that we have. And like you were saying earlier, there's some things we just don't even know the impact, but as long as we're constantly striving to be better and to make those better around us, the impact just keeps rippling out, and the ripple effect keeps going. So I really, really believe that makes a big, huge difference in the world around us.
Well, thank you, Sensei, for sharing that with us. Sure. Thank you for doing the work. Thank you for contributing to the overall how martial arts is perceived, and that we're proving it here tonight on the program with camaraderie. We are coming together as Voodoo Brothers and Voodoo Brothers and Sisters. We have a lot of females on the line tonight, which I love. I love females in martial arts because it's just, you know, they're so brave, you know. Let's go here, because now one thing I will ask you to do is, we are getting a little bit of feedback. One of you may be listening to the show live. And if you could just mute your mic while that happens, it'll stop the feedback. So, you know, the next question I have for Sensei Alex is, what's your goal now? Now that you have this platform set up, what is your goal? What are you trying to achieve next?
what am I trying to achieve next? That's a great question. You know, I guess in the short term, just making sure, you know, that I'm, you know, dedicated to my students, you know, not only martial arts development, but also their character development. You know, I think in the long term, you know, my goal would be try to leave martial arts better than, you know, where I found it, you know, just like how, you know, we have, you know, just we have a finite amount of time on this earth. And we can choose, you know, however we want to do. And, you know, my goal is to try to leave, you know, martial arts, you know, better than I found it. Just like, you know, how our, you know, generational-wise, every instructor that's came before us has tried to leave their impact, you know, to be able to give martial arts an opportunity to evolve, you know? You know, we've had, you know, karate, we've had boxing, we've had jiu-jitsu, and now we have MMA, and so the art is constantly evolving. People are constantly evolving, you know, especially with the, you know, use of technology. But, you know, like Sensei Chris says, it's like it all comes from people. It all comes from people. So that's my goal in the long term, is just leave martial arts better than, you know, where I am right now, and then we'll go from there.
How about you, Sensei Chris? What are your goals over the, you know, what are you trying to achieve now?
My major goal for me is to help bring in the next generation of martial artists that will continue on this legacy and this journey, because you know, it does take a special someone to. You can have many people that are martial artists, but you don't always have people that become teachers, and they want to commit to it to the level that, you know, to bring it to that level to them. So I'm constantly push that on to the next generation, whether they choose to continue to do martial arts, whether they do that the rest of their life. My goal is to pass on everything I've learned and to, again, you know, help them become better than me. I do have a couple of my students from when I first started teaching, and they are senseis now. So I know that I have succeeded in that goal, but it doesn't mean my journey's over, because as long as I have life in my body and I'm able to still do, even if I'm not able to do, even if I'm whatever happens in the future, because God only knows. Right. But as long as I'm able to keep continuing to do what I do, I'm going to constantly be working to better everyone and everything around me the best I can through the vehicle of martial arts. And for me, it's always about continuing to train and always to get better. So constantly my goal is always to go back to the roots, go to Okinawa, go to Japan, learn from the masters there, but also continue to train on my own and my own vehicle of self-discovery, because not a day goes by that I don't find out something new, right? Whether it's through my students, whether it's through my own reading or studies or watching watching videos, whether I just sit there and contemplate things. It's literally like it's just this never-ending journey. So my goal is to actively stay participating in this, you know, as Sundao said, we only have a certain amount of time, so I want to spend every moment that I can to keep the art alive and to keep pushing the teachings alive to the next generation and to continuing to make sure that it continues to be there in the future.
Thank you for that commitment, sir. It's a genuine commitment. I hear it in both of your voices. And when you make that decision, it's not an easy decision, might I add, because it requires, if you're going to do it and do it properly, it requires proper attention, proper practice. And as you said, I value what you said, that you're always a practitioner. You're always trying to get better. You're always trying to learn new ways, or even be innovative and create your own ways, which is in both of you. nothing will stop you. And that says a lot about your character, the fact that you pay homage to the ones that have come before you, which means you have been trained properly, but the commitment, the consistency of the commitment, my sensei told me, speaks volumes. As you said, you may train a lot of students, not all of them go on to become instructors. Now, when you do get an instructor, we call them lifers, people that are in it for life. The value of that, again, is immeasurable because now they're going to commit the same way you are. They're going to give it mind, body, and spirit in total, unconditional, and do it. When you commit and you're consistent at it, why shine at work? My martial arts journey taught me outside of martial arts, if you're on time and you don't let anybody outwork you, your boss, when he needs you on Saturday and you go into overtime, he's going to call you. He knows how to pay you overtime. You know why? When I call Venner, I'm done. I don't get no complaints. I don't get no calls, nothing. I'm done. Venner handles the job the way he's got to handle the job. Take it out, no complaints, no nothing. And I teach the same way. My approach to teaching is just what you fellas described. I'm here to give you what you want. You came here for something. If it's you want to get in shape, oh, man. My sensei was in the Marine Corps. So I'll make you do all the calisthenics you need for your cardio. I'll leave you with this, fellas. The idea of us giving a commitment of ourselves speaks volumes about our character and what we're willing to do to share with others and help others. In my case, I gave of myself, and that's my success. They see it in me. I showed a couple of techniques at the demonstration I was at in your dojo, and the gentleman said to me, my God, sensei, it just comes out of you like, hey, you're so fast. And I said, I'm 65. When he taught me this stuff when I was a kid, forget about it. I mean, we were so interested in trying to learn what's in these katas. What is the founder trying to communicate to me, Daniel, in these katas? They gave me this conduit now. They showed me all these movements. We have 8 empty hand katas in Ishinryu. And in those katas are an amazing, my father, when I was getting picked on school, tried to show me a little boxing, getting the stance, go like this, But that means you got to exchange that. I don't want to exchange with these guys. So that's what martial arts gave me. No exchange. You step in my circle, this is what's going to happen. And I come from a time where karate was not on every street corner. You didn't have a BJJ dojo on in every neighborhood. So to get a martial art when I started, it wasn't easy. I think both of you said you started around the 90s. So I see 2 things that I would like to highlight before we close out the program, and that's the commitment and the consistency. Because that commitment and that consistency grows the impact. That's the math. And that's why I ask those questions, because a lot of times the senses are working. You don't have time to think about the impact that they've had on others. But you know, when you come to a round table like this, we're here to promote what you do as a working martial artist. That's what this program is dedicated to, the working martial artist. And in 2024, to be a working martial artist, you either have a student base that can carry it, or you've hit the lottery. Because with the prices of dojos, especially the one I was at, I mean, that dojo is beautiful, magnificent presentation. Now, let me ask you this. With a dojo like that, what do you think the Okinawans think of Shorin Matsubayashi Shorinru being taught at that location? I mean, the impact on that, the founder has passed on. So you're carrying on that legacy in 2024 in Morrisville, North Carolina. Maybe when you get to be my age, you might give it some thought, but I'll drop the seed in 2024 because it's immeasurable. Teaching a new brand of students under brand new rules and regulations with a brand new budget, I'll say, you know, so it's incredible. That work is for me, it's inspiring. So take that to the bank, fellas. Your commitment, your consistency, I would take 1,000 of those on my team. You know what I mean? So, let's see. Here's a good one for you. Let's have Sensei Alex answer this one. What was your toughest kata to learn?
Ooh, the toughest kata that I had to learn? Yeah, there were actually two that stood out. One was called Sanjitato, and then the other one was Kusan Ku. the Sanjitato, there's a lot of cat stances in that kata, and the cat stances are not my biggest strength. So, you know, one of my instructors, he maybe do, just different types of kick drills, squats, leg exercises to be able to build up the strength, to be able to come down lower in those cat stances. And, you know, it had a big impact. So I want to thank him for that. Kusan Ku is one of the longest katas that I know at the moment. And, the amount of time that it takes to be able to learn it, but then also be able to memorize it. And then, you know, it's like repetition, memory, and then being able to learn the kata a second time through, like, a different lens. So, you know, you can spend your whole life studying just one kata.
And how about you, Sensei Chris? What's the toughest kata you had to face to learn?
sir, in karate, I'm currently training a very traditional Japanese sword style, which there are many, many difficult kata. But for karate, hands down, the kata that has been the most difficult for me to grasp, for whatever reason, has been Goju Shiho. And it's just a kata that, you know, and I say this to my students, and I say this to anybody listening, you're going to find kata. I have found that you will have kata that resonate with you as a person. Maybe it's your character, maybe it's your physical attributes, maybe it's something about it that just sparks your creativity or imagination, or it just feels right in your body. And there are going to be other kata that are challenging, that are difficult, and maybe not one of your favorite kata to do. And that's just. And but then as you go, just like as we go through life, we change, and you'll come back and you'll look at that kata again, and you'll see, like, you know, I have a different perspective on it now. So yeah, Goju Shiho has been the for karate has been the toughest, most difficult kata, but as I say that, I also say, as of right now, I have been currently training I've been really honing in on a different variation of that kata, Goju Shiho, and it's starting to feel good. It's starting to come together. So Goju Shio for many years was just the kata that I always like just cringed at having to do. It just didn't feel right in this particular version that I'm working on in preparation to go to Okinawa. I'm starting to feel it. So that's one of those things, and that's another reason why I think kata is so important to our tradition, is it carries the information, the techniques, it carries the fighting principles of the ones before us, and our job as instructors and practitioners now is to continue to train these kata and do our best to pass them on exactly as they have been given to us. So it's Goju Shio. It has been the tough one for me, sir.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, because it prompts me to my next question, which Sensei Alex, basically, he alluded to it in his statement when he said that it's a lifetime. When I have to follow the rules of how Ishinru is distributed to the students, teach them chart one, chart two, and then start them on Seisan. So that's how I was taught, and that's what I have to teach. So I come across as the instructor now asking myself, how well do you know Seisan, Danny? You've been taught the movements. You've been drilling the kata now for 50 years. Where is your level of knowledge on the kata? And I got to tell you, I don't know if I'll live long enough to learn the first kata that they taught me. I can teach it. I can teach you the bunkai. We can become innovative on the bunkai and expand it. We can drill it until the day we die. But how well do I know it? And that's our first kata. And from what I was taught, it is a black other in other disciplines. So I know that trying to learn something in its entirety, especially when it comes to things that involve physics, inertia, weight, movement, position, breathing, stances, administering the waza, it's a difficult thing to do live, especially when you're drilling. So I call them volumes of encyclopedia because as you grow in the kata, you grow in the waza that you're learning and how you're learning to execute. So again, we give our time to trying to learn well enough so that we can teach it, all right, and we can drill it. But then when I come across a kata like Kusanku or Chinto, what? Oh, my goodness. I mean, Kusanku to me, the version that we do in Ishin, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful kata, very effective, very flowing kata, masterful, displaying martial arts in a way that I believe to be very highly effective. Let me pull a move out of Kusanfu. Let's use it and let's see, you know, where you stand and where I stand. And I was told that Chinto is a complete form of karate. That one kata made this whole discipline. So how do I learn this? In our style, the sensei, our seventh kata is Sun Tzu. When he went to the powers to be in Japan to get Ishinru recognized, he displayed this kata Sun Tzu. They told him, well, you don't need it. You have all the empty hand katas that you need to qualify. No, he said, I want this kata because it's for the students. And in that kata, as I said at the top of the program, what is the sense they're trying to tell me in all this here? They gave me the Kenpo Gokui that I have words that I read, and I have all these katas that they gave me. I have chart one, I have chart two, which starts me to learn how to administer a kata when they teach me the kata, because the architecture of Ishiru is in chart one and chart two, upper body and lower body basics, and the message. What is the message? So it brings me to the next question now, to close the program. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. We don't have enough time to cover everything I wanted to try to cover. But we'll start with you, Sensei Alex. What is your level of violence if you have to, you know, administer your karate or your martial arts to protect yourself?
Ooh, that is such a good question. That is such a great question. You know, in terms of karate, you know, we have the, you know, blocks, strikes, kicks, to be able to, you know, strike and, you know, take care of the person and, you know, in just a couple of moves. I've also, you know, had the philosophy, you know, of with the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu is to be able to subdue the person without needing the punches, the kicks, and the strikes. So what I like to think of is the scalability of force as needed. You know, what happens that, you know, I happen to defend myself and, you know, maybe I get in a high kick, knock the person out, but then he falls to the ground and now he has brain damage. Now it's like, you know, we're in court. What are we going to do at that point, right? So, you know, I've, in terms of the scalability of violence needed to be able to control a person, my philosophy at the moment is to lean more towards the jiu-jitsu and spare the karate as needed. Because like we said, you know, I said in the beginning, it's like you can do karate on the ground. You know, if it comes to like multiple people, I'm running. I'm getting the heck out of there. If it's one-on-one, I would rather use jiu-jitsu, control the person, exhaust them, and then, you know, as needed, if I would need to use striking, well, then there would be the opportunity. So, you know, I'm trying to be very conscious of, you know, when and how to use self-defense in a, you know, real-life situation.
Thank you. Thank you for that, sir. That's, that is the allowable by law. You are removing the threat and you're not doing damage where it's excessive. You're controlling the attacker. So now, Sensei Chris, I'll ask you the same question. You have to protect yourself on the street. You know martial arts. You're a practitioner. You're an instructor. What is your level of violence, sir?
Yes, sir. Well, for me, you know, and I'm not saying, this has been said before, but Chotsuko Kyan Sensei said the fist should stay hidden like a treasure in the sleeve. So I think that really says a lot. There's another saying that has been said where if you go through your entire lifetime without having using your karate, then you have achieved the ultimate goal. So those are things that I think are the ideal. However, you know, in my experience, I grew up a good portion of my life in Philadelphia. And in Philadelphia, I've seen some violence. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there has been a few times when I had to use my martial arts. Some of it wasn't physical. Some of it was just mental. Some of it was physical. And was one of those things where, unfortunately, you know, hands had to be laid upon somebody. And I was fortunate in the sense that, you know, I went home safe that day. And I, you know, I did have to do what I had to do to get out of the situation. I didn't harm the person more than I needed to, but, you know, at the same, on the same token, you know, I've been in situations where violence is very, can erupt very quickly. I mean, very quickly. There was a couple times I was like, well, one time, I literally was like, I think this guy's going to pull a gun on this other person. And I was with a group of people that were, you know, friends of mine, people that I really care about. And I told them to step back and stay behind me because I was worried about the situation, what I might have to do. And it escalated and then it de-escalated. So it was good. But, you know, as martial artists, I fully believe in this, is that, you know, these traditions come from the warrior class. The Bushi, the samurai, the warriors, and I believe that that's a very big part of being a martial artist. And so the level of violence that you have to be okay with is in your mind. And I play this scenario. This is why I tell my students this too. Whenever I do a self-defense workshop, I was like, I've taught you many techniques today, many techniques, but really what I want you to do for your homework is I want you to go home after this, and I want you to visualize in your mind, what are you willing to do? Because everyone has a different answer, you know? And for me, that's gonna tell you about what you are capable or not capable of doing. And that's a question. And I think that when we teach our students and when we really want to get down past the traditions and past everything else, and we just want to get down to the martial arts at the core of using it for protecting yourself or others, you do need to have that mental exercise because it's very important. If you know what you're capable of doing, then you already have an advantage. So my experience has been that, and I do believe ultimately that the goal, as the masters have said before us, the goal is not to use it. In fact, if you go through life without having to use it, you have succeeded. So, yeah. And then, of course, you know, things are different. When some of these arts were created, the situation was much different, you know, in the world that we live in today. As Alex was saying earlier, you know, you use your techniques and you defend yourself and you end up going to jail for it. Whereas in the past, you know, maybe that wasn't such the case, you know, it was looked upon differently. So it's the world we live in, and I think it's very important to ask those kind of questions since I did. So thank you for asking me that, because I really believe in that aspect of the training, that part of the mental side of it, of just knowing what are you capable of doing, because the answer is different from each person.
Thank you for sharing that, sir. It's such a wholesome response to a very difficult situation. So, yes, sir. That balance is not easy. But now, you know, this part of the program, the last couple of minutes, we like to spend promoting maybe any events you might have, any workshops that that you're having, maybe any competitions that you're going to, seminars that you might be having. So gather up your thoughts. Think about what you want to say to the loyal listeners. And, you know, basically gear it around your students, you know, what you're doing. We're here to promote your operation. So whatever you can say, my name is Chris, my name is Alex, I teach over here, this is the address, this is how you contact me, and we happen to be having, let's say, a belt promotion on Saturday, or we're doing this on Monday. Give us some indication of how do we reach these two guys. That's what the program's all about. I mean, you spent 2 hours with me now. Let me give you the opportunity to tell the people who you are, where you're located, and how do I contact you? If I want to send my kid to your dojo and you're in my area, I heard this radio podcast, how do I get a hold? So we'll start with Sensei Alex first.
Yeah, perfect. So, you know, we're Endeavor Martial Arts in Raleigh, North Carolina. Our website is endeavormartialarts.com. You can follow us on Facebook as well as Instagram, Endeavor Martial Arts RDU. You know, over at our studio, we teach kids karate and jiu-jitsu as well as adult karate, kickboxing, and Gracie jiu-jitsu. We have a women's self-defense seminar on November 9th. It's a free seminar for all people in our community. So if you'd like to check us out, you can email me at alex.t as in Tom, S as in Sam, I-K-O-S at endeavormartialarts.com or customer.care at endeavormartialarts.com, and we'd love to have you guys out.
And let's ask this question. How about any events that are you having anything at the dojo that you'd like to say? Would you like to maybe say something about a student? As I say, maybe you could, that's how I met you, to a seminar. So do you have anything like that going on?
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Thank you for that. So, you know, first biggest shout out to Sensei Chris for, you know, collaborating with, you know, the Sensei Jerry Figiani event. Sensei Dan, thank you again so much for having me on the podcast. And it was great to meet you. You know, a big shout out to Sensei Nick, who is the person that, you know, you mentioned who was, you know, really into the techniques. You know, he's one of the not only top students, top instructors over at Endeavor Martial Arts, but also top friend. Also, you know, big shout outs to my fiance business partner, Oslam. Couldn't have done anything without you. And then, you know, again, big shout out to, you know, our students to be able to continuing the martial arts journey.
Thank you, Sensei Alex. And how about Sensei Chris now? You want to talk about who you are, how we contact you?
Yes, sir. Yeah, my name is Chris Moulonier, and I teach at Balance Martial Arts here in Morrisville, North Carolina. If anybody would like to get more information, please, you know, reach out to balancemartialarts@gmail.com. One of the big events that we do at Balance Martial Arts is we hold a multidiscipline seminar every year. So we invite multiple people in the multiple disciplines to come and share their knowledge. We've had and we didn't do it this year because the big event that we had this year was having Figiani Sensei come down, which was such a great event. And the multidiscipline seminar has those same good vibes, good energy, people sharing, training together, learning. In years past, we've had Aikido, we've had different styles of karate, Chitoru, Ishinru, Weichiru, Shorinru, Kung Fu, Judo, Jiu-Jitsu, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So it's really just a phenomenal weekend. I haven't set a date for 2025 yet, but if you email the dojo and you would like to be part of that, we would love to have it. We had a women's self-defense class as well, Hapkido. So it's really just it's a great weekend. It turns into a Friday, Saturday, Sunday event. And that's coming up big for 2025. Looking forward to that. Sensei Dan, I'll pass that information along to you as well, too, once I have those dates firm. And, yeah, any, you know, it's just such an honor to be on the podcast. I really appreciate the invitation to come on and speak with all of your listeners. Something I appreciate the platform. I'm very what's the word I'm looking for? I'm very not tech savvy when it comes to a lot of stuff. So getting a chance to have a platform to speak is great. I greatly appreciate it. It was such an honor, and looking forward to the future. And something, Alex, a big shout out to you, to Endeavor Martial Arts, to all of my students, and to, of course, my wife supporting me in all of this, because I know I drive her crazy with all this, but I love her to death. And she always stands behind me in my martial arts madness. So, it's just, again, one more time, Dallas Martial Arts in Warsaw, North Carolina, DallasMartialArts@gmail.com. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it.
Well, who knows? Maybe you guys will eventually take a look at this platform, Blog Talk Radio, and in time have your own platform to have your students involved. There are people that called in when we went to break that are from Long Island, from Australia. My friend Sensei Joe in Australia. Our voice is heard around the world on this platform. So since you're committed martial artists, who knows that you don't have, let's say, a little budget, which they make it very affordable for you to have your own platform, just like Ishin Rumatz does. I'd even be willing to sponsor it, because without our voice, remember now, once we make this program, you take this program and you can share it in its entirety with family, friends, students, martial artists. Give them an opportunity to have a voice as well. It's very simple. Very simple to sign up, affordable, and I encourage you to do it, because both of you, I believe, deserve it. If you would take the time to come on the program and share your journey with others, means that you are willing to help, because we may have said something on this program tonight that sparks the start of a new journey. Maybe some child heard, well, this guy said he was getting bullied, and he went to, you know, study a martial art, and he did okay. So maybe I could do the same thing. And since you both have dojos and you're both active working martial artists, Blog Talk Radio is a great platform for both of you. So as the senior in the group, the senior citizen, I know that my voice reaches people that write to me, people that contact me on social media. Once I share the program, listen, I listened to your show. I thought it was great. I heard the stuff about what you do when you drill. And to me, martial arts is all about drilling, repetition, doing it over and over and over again, because every time I drill, it's something new. You're in a different position. You're in a different weight. You're in a different stance. Drilling to me is the ultimate proof that the waza works, as long as you execute it within its parameters. Now things change. I may have grabbed you a little early. I may have grabbed you a little late. But as long as I know how to administer properly, the waza is in my favor. I'm sorry. It's the physics in it. So when the guys at work say, oh, that karate stuff doesn't work, and then I see you doing this kata, looks like a dance. Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. It is a dance. And our kusanku kata is not only an effective dance, but it's deadly. I mean, not for nothing. It's disguised very beautifully, but it's deadly. And that also intrigued me about martial arts, that it's so beautiful, but the art of deception is built in so well that you can barely see it. And that's why when my students compete in kata, for instance, they win because they're very convincing. They own it. I told the students, once I give this to you, I can never take it back. Never. It's yours. It's yours to keep for all eternity. So preserve it, protect it, learn it, practice it. Learn its origin. Learn its meaning. Let's work the bunkai. Let's drill the bunkai. Let's see what happens when I step here as opposed to here. Are you going to, you know, oh, well, now it's not, you know, it's not going to work? No. It's all about being able to adjust. It's all about being able to communicate that waza in a way that it does work. And the only thing that I learned from that is your self-esteem and your self-confidence. Trusting the waza. When you trust the waza, yes, you will have success. Why? Because you won't take no for an answer. I was taught that 22 and a half degree angle. When you come at me, I can stop you dead in your tracks with a quick front snap kick right to the hip. I'm not gonna kill you with that, but I'm gonna stop you in your tracks. You will not enter my circle if I don't want you to. So I get very passionate and emotional about martial arts because of where it come from to me, how I got it. And I consider it to be one of the greatest gifts I've ever gotten in my life. Outside of my wife and my children, my goodness, that you took the time to instill these karate for defense only. That's what I was taught. You're not the aggressor here. You're here to protect. But you're here to protect yourself. So we use these means and methods to do it. And as Alex alluded to, you know, you have to be so darn careful today. You have to be a technician, craftsman. Well, I was trained as a New York City carpenter. So I went to the carpenter school. I learned how to be a finished carpenter, a cabinet maker. And I can build a house with my hands. I can draw the plans. I can do everything. Because they taught me. They taught me well, you know. And when you're taught well, It shows. I did a demonstration for the Raleigh PD. I brought a little girl with me, a little 12-year-old girl. I picked the biggest guy. So all of a sudden, like, you go to try to grab her. And he reached his hand out. She put a flying arm bar on him and tapped him out. He weighed like, you know, 260, and she weighed like 70. So it's not about that. It's all in the technique. That's why I say I'm an inherent jiu-jitsuan. I know how to put you down by manipulating your joints, standing up or on the floor. So, and that's empty hand. We didn't talk anything tonight about weapons, you know, in our practice. And that's my favorite part. Once you put something in my hand, like a bow, a sai, a tomfa, oh, my goodness. All right, fellas, I'm sorry, but we got to wrap it up. It goes fast. I know I get so excited about the end of the show because I don't want it to end, you know. So thank you for calling in. Thank you for spending your time with this guy and talking about your journeys. I thought it was really enjoyable. Everybody raised their hands that called in. They all wanted to have something to say, but again, it goes fast, so we weren't able to take any questions. But, again, thank you for calling in, fellas.
Thanks again for having us on today, Dan.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it.
And I hope I get invited to the when you have the all the senseis come in and share their martial art.
Absolutely, sir.
Well, there you have it, folks. Friday night at the fight, right here at Issue New Mats. To call into the show, we dial 563-999-3035. We'll see everybody back here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for our regular scheduled program. We're going to close with a very special song. It's called Almost Home, and it's by Craig Morgan and a new star that has come up called Jelly Roll, who has a wonderful story. You know, he was a thug, a drug dealer, in gangs, went to jail, but he found religion in his life, and he turned himself around, and it's a wonderful story. So, and that's what this program is all about, wholesomeness in martial arts. So good night, everybody. We'll see everybody tomorrow night.
Thank you very much. How exciting is Jelly Roll, y'all? So listen, if you haven't seen it, you need to go back and pull it up on YouTube or find his first appearance. I happened to be out on the road somewhere and someone called me and said, man, you have got to see this Jelly Roll guy. He was just on the Grand Ole Opry, and he don't look like somebody that would be on the Grand Ole Opry. But he was talking about you. And so I went back and I watched it and I watched him. He was standing up here and he was talking about how when he was in jail and struggling, how a particular song helped him get through it. And he mentioned the fact that he came to the Grand Ole Opry when he got out. And I remembered. He said, I was sitting right over there with that gentleman in that hat. Is sitting in the seventh row right inside. And Craig Morgan was singing on stage. And it moved me. It moved me. It just proved exactly what he said, that music can change lives. So before I do the song that he said changed his life, I would love it if y'all would give him a big round of applause and get him to come back out here and sing this with us.
Y'all make some noise for the living legend, Mr. Craig Morgan. Shortly after I got out of jail, I did. I sat right there in row 7 and I cried like a baby and watched him sing. And I remember thinking, I want to make people feel the way he makes me feel right now. This is a true testimony that God is real and all things are possible. Because that same kid that was in jail and struggling, his wife is sitting right there. He's not sitting there tonight. That kid is standing next to Craig Morgan.
Here we go, buddy.
Let's do it. He had plastic bags wrapped around his shoes. He was covered in the evening news. Had a pair of old wool socks on his hands. The bank sign was flashing far below. He was freezing rain and spitting snow. He was curled up beside some garbage cans. I was afraid that he was dead. I gave him a gentle shave. When he opened up his eyes, he said, old man, are you okay? And he said, I just climbed out of a cottonwood tree. Creek. I was walking down an old
He said, eyes just come round the barn about the time you grabbed my arm. When I heard Mama holler, son, hurry up. I was close enough for my old nose to smell fresh cobbler on the stove. I saw Daddy loading up the truck. Game pulls on a tailgate, bobbers blowing in the wind. July of 85, that's as cold as I've been. Yeah, I just climbed out of a cottonwood tree.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles. Discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.